You are the river. You are the joy.
Yes, Lord.
You are the presence. You're the presence.
Our joy.
Presence,
our strength.
God.
Thank you, Lord.
Jesus.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. It's just releasing His joy, His peace, and His presence. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Oh. Well, as the Lord continues to release His joy, release His presence, as we continue just to bathe and bask in His glory and celebrate Him today, I'm going to ask Ina to come up. She's got a testimony to share, something more for us to celebrate because the Lord's moving.
This testimony is from a few days ago on, I can't remember, Wednesday. My mom, she's in a hospital in Singapore having hip replacement surgery. And she had a stroke at the beginning of the year, and she has a liver disease. And because of the medication for her liver disease, that attacks her liver, she needs to take this medication that actually attacks her bones. So her spine in the back is actually being pinched from the bone, so that's why she needs a hip replacement. So the doctor said there's 12% chance of getting another stroke because she had a stroke in the first stroke and then might have a second one. So anyway, on Wednesday she had a surgery and everything went well. But at nighttime, when she was sleeping, I guess, my aunt, she's my spiritual mom, and she just happened to decide last minute to come with her to Singapore for a week just to accompany her in the hospital. So she was actually sleeping in the bedroom next to her. And she had to charge her phone, and because all the plug in the room was full, so she had to charge her phone. It's low battery, and it's behind her bed. And as she was moving towards her, she saw her face. She looked really pale, and her lips were white. And then she's a doctor, too. And then she said, okay, something is not right here, and there's no way my mom can get up and say, hey, I don't feel well, because she was not really all there. So she asked the nurse to check her blood pressure, and her blood pressure was 40 over 0. 40 over 0, okay? And the nurse thought there's something wrong with the machine or something, so she checked again. It's still 40 over 0. And my aunt had her daughter, when she was 5, had cancer for 2 years, and Jesus healed her. But her daughter had 50 over 0, and she was in a coma. And my mom was not in a coma. And so they moved her to kind of like an ICU, and then the doctor had a brain scan after that to make sure that she didn't have another stroke. But she didn't have coma, no nothing in the brain, and she was just awake, and everything is normal. And if my aunt hadn't been there, it takes a few seconds for her to just, she'd be gone by now. So, I mean, if God, she's covering prayers. My aunt is, you know, a prayer warrior, and it's just amazing.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Yeah, we can release the kids. I think they're ready to go. More than ready to go. Oh, that was some good worship. Well, some of you might notice that I am neither Pastor Bill nor Pastor Mary Pat. Some may have noticed. For those who are not Pastor Mary Pat or Pastor Bill, Pastor Bill and Pastor Mary Pat are on a much needed rest and vacation with their family. So we're missing a couple people here today.
like the pastors and all of their children. But we still have a crew here. And I believe we have a couple other people that are out. It's Dylan and Amy are celebrating, anybody know? 2 years? And 2 years of wedding bliss, marriage bliss. And the Lord, and on Friday I celebrated 5 years with my beautiful wife. Yeah, she does deserve a hand clap for that. So we just got back this morning from Niagara Falls. We spent a couple days up at the falls in Canada. So if I start saying A at any point, you'll know why. So I was spending some time pressing into the Lord, seeking His face, going after everything that He had, crying out, saying, "What on earth? What on earth? What on earth is happening now?" And he started to take me through a couple of scriptures that I've been meditating on and spending some time in Proverbs. And I had an opportunity, since we were in Canada over the weekend, we drove halfway back to Erie, PA, give or take 3 or 4 exits, which I didn't realize. I found out after I passed the exit that the hotel that we reserved wasn't actually in Erie. So we went back north, ended up about 2.5 hours out. And then this morning, got in the car about 6 a.m., 6:30, maybe closer to 7. Got in the car, and Cynthia was out, sleeping. And she's pregnant, so that's okay. I allowed it. And so, yeah. Let her sleep. I gave her permission. So I spent 2.5 hours just worshiping, praying and in the Spirit, and just, I already had scriptures, I already had an idea of what the Lord wanted to do, but just really had 2.5 hours just to soak in the presence of God and enjoy His presence and receive anything and everything that He just wanted to pour out. So it was an incredible 2.5 hours that just seemed to kind of accelerate. You guys ever notice that? You start getting into a rhythm, you start praying, you start getting into the presence of the Lord, and time just kind of seems to, it's gone. It's like you have no idea what happened. And before I knew it, we were pulling into the church. I think we got here earlier than expected, too. So I was spending some time just enjoying His presence and getting more revelation about some of the things that the Lord's doing right now. And I'm really excited. I'm going to have you guys open to Proverbs chapter 3. I don't need my gum. It's a familiar verse. But before I jump into that, why don't we pray, and I want to share some other revelations that I had during worship. So, Father, we thank You. We thank You, Lord, for today. Father, we celebrate You. We celebrate You. Holy Spirit, we recognize the powerful way that You've worked in each one of our lives. The incredible love that You've demonstrated to each of us. The amazing way that You continue to draw us into Your presence. The way that You just woo us into this dynamic, over-the-top relationship with just Your presence and Your peace pouring out. And Lord, I thank You, Father, that You carry us into a greater revelation of that today. So Holy Spirit, we say, have Your way today. Have Your way in this place. Have Your way on each one of our hearts, Father God, that we would encounter the genuine heart of the Father this morning, that we would be drawn into that place of intimacy, of passion, of power in your presence. And I thank you, Lord, that you've made that available for each one of us today. That you've made all those things, every gift in heaven, every spiritual blessing available to us today because of what you did 2,000 years ago on the cross. You've made a way, you've opened the door, Lord, and we just want to be faithful to step into that more today than ever before. That we would see an increase in our lives, that our eyes would be open to seeing, our ears open to hearing what your Spirit wants to release today. So have your way, Lord. Have your way. Yes, Lord. So I noticed there seemed to be a reoccurring theme, which is actually, I didn't plan this, but I'm just that good. That a lot of the scripture, or a lot of the songs that we were singing, are actually very similar to what I want to talk about in Proverbs 3. Starting in chapter 3, verse 5. It's a familiar verse. Verses 5 through 9 says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and turn away from evil. It will be healing to your body and refreshment to your bones. Honor the Lord from your wealth and from the first of all your produce." There's a reoccurring word here that tends to stick out to me quite a bit. That's the word all. A-L-L, all. One thing that I'm used to hearing from Pastor Mary Pat is all means all. I've heard that, I don't know how many times, all means all. It's not like some deep, profound thing on the surface. All means all. But if you take some time to think about that and really press into the presence of the Lord and asking him, what does that look like? You know, it says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. It says, to honor the Lord from your wealth and from the first of all your produce. In all your ways, acknowledge him. And one of the songs that we were singing, actually several of the songs had the word all in it. One of the ones that was, what was the second song that we sang? No, third song, sorry. Yeah. All that I am, I place into your hands. And I'm singing that, and you know, sometimes we get so caught up and so excited about the music that sounds so good, and you got people in front of you dancing, just shouting, and everybody gets so caught up in the worship, and you've got Andy doing his thing, you got Peter doing his thing, dancing in his freedom, Bethany there experiencing all these great outpourings and visions, and everyone else just all around you, like experiencing these great things, and it's so easy to get caught up in that, and the Lord loves that. You know, that's not something fake. That's not something that we're making up. The Lord loves to see us get caught up in what he's doing. There's nothing wrong with that. You know, a lot of times we say don't get caught up in what other people are doing, but the Lord's intention was really for us to become contagious people. You know, that we would be so filled to overflowing, that we'd be so caught up in his presence that it becomes contagious. That we come in the mornings, we come in either at church on Sundays or we go into work, and we're just so filled with joy that it's contagious. You guys ever been around somebody that's just so bubbly and happy and joyful that you can't really help but pick up some of it even if you don't try to? Yeah. You know, I've got people like that at work that and it can go either way. That they're just so happy, so joyful, that even on a bad day when you come in, you're like, I don't want to be around you because I don't feel like being happy. Stay away. You know that if they come around and they're happy, some of it's going to get on you. And it's the other way around too. I have other people that I work with that are always grumpy. You know, those people we can stay away from too. I'm okay staying away from those people. Unless you can bring the joy into their lives, but that's different. So it's not a bad thing to get caught up in the presence of the Lord when other people around you are worshiping. And it's wonderful. The Lord loves that. He knows your heart. Your desire is to honor him and to be a blessing to others. So it's okay to get caught up in the worship. But I took some time this morning during that worship to really meditate on the words of what it is that I'm singing out. And you almost, there's this thing when almost like reality steps in and it's like, I have to stop singing this. Like, I don't know if I want to sing, "All that I have I give into your hands." Because all means all. That's a lot. Like, every aspect of my life, I am declaring to God in that song, all that I am, everything about me, that there's nothing that I am leaving off limits to the Lord. Because all means all. So I was spending, you know, I'm worshiping and I'm enjoying it and I'm getting caught up, and then all of a sudden, all that I am, I'm like, all that I am, I give. Where do I want to give it, Lord? I don't know, because I've seen what that looks like sometimes when I give all that I am. And it hurts. Can anybody else testify to that? That sometimes it hurts? All that I am, I give to you. Like, all that I am in this area. All that I am on Sunday. That's all yours, Lord. Except from 6 p.m. on, because I'm with my family. All that I am. So what does that really look like for us? What is the Lord calling us to be a people that give everything? To be a people that in all that I am, I give into your hands. That we trust in the Lord with all of my heart. You know, what does that really look like for you? What does that look like for me? What does that look like for us as a body here in Frontline? And what does that look like for us as a body as a whole? All that I am, everything. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. You know how hard that is? You know, if you look at verse 5, it says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. And a couple of examples that the Lord really pointed out. And first, I want to define trust. It says, reliance on the integrity, strength, ability, surety of a person or thing, that you have confidence in it. And I think one of my favorite examples of trust in the Lord is found in the book of Daniel. If you look at the example of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in Daniel 3, it says, chapter 3, verse 16 through 18, it says, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego replied to the king. And what's happening here is King Nebuchadnezzar created this awesome statue, and he tells people to worship it, and these three refuse to worship it. So they're brought before the king, and they say, O Nebuchadnezzar, we do not need to give you an answer concerning this matter. If it be so, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the furnace of blazing fire, and he will deliver us out of your hand, O king. But even if he does not, that almost seems like a translation error. Like, that should have been omitted from this. But even if he does not, let it be known to you, O king, that we are not going to serve your gods or worship the golden image that you have set up. So you have Nebuchadnezzar, who puts all this time and money into creating this great statue, and he says, worship it. Worship the greatness that is the statue. And these three, who've had a revelation of God as the King of Kings, refuse to. And it becomes blatantly obvious. Have you ever been in a room with lots of people and they all do something and you're the only one not doing it? I mean, think about what that would look like, especially in the sense of you've got a king who's like way up here, got this huge aerial view of everything going on around him. And you've got everybody falling on their knees. So they're like, you know, 2 feet from the ground. And then you've got these three Hebrew guys just standing there, like twiddling their thumbs. You know, that's got to stick out. That's going to become pretty obvious. So Nebuchadnezzar calls them in. And he says, you guys got to worship the statue because it's golden and awesome. And I think you need to. And these three, and I believe that there was such a spirit of boldness that fell upon them in that moment. Because you can see at the way they respond, and there's nothing timid about it. There's nothing shy about the response that they give King Nebuchadnezzar. Because he at this moment is holding the ability to kill them. He says, you will worship this idol or you will go into the furnace. And they respond in verse, I think it's 17, it says, but even if he does not, let it be known to you. You can almost see their fingers pointing at the king. Just so there's no mistake, I want you to understand, I'm not doing this. Like, there's nothing timid or shy about that. Like, who goes up to, I know several times I'll go up to, like, my dad or something, and I'll want something. You know, I'm not going to go up there and say, and I'm going to take it. Because I think we all know what will happen next if I did that. I wouldn't get it. But you have these three guys that go up to the king, the one who's able to, and they said, let it be known. I'm not doing it. Tell me that's not the craziest thing you've ever heard. And this is such a great example of trust in the Lord, because they said that, but even if he does not, they said he is fully capable of delivering us. He can pull us out of any circumstance. He can take all power and all authority away from you. But even if he does not, let it be known that we are not going to serve your gods or worship the golden image that you have set up. That's trust. Trust isn't knowing that something's going to happen. Trust is walking with the Lord and believing that he will be your provider, no matter what that looks like. You know, sometimes we get in this process of walking with the Lord and not even knowing it, not even realizing it, that we've created this thought or this image of what it should look like. That we go into the world, that we go into our workplace, we go into school, we go into whatever it is that we're doing, and in the back of our minds, you know, we want to say we're not religious, that we're open to anything, but there's times where it's just like you have this expectation of what it should look like. Like, I know when I go into work tomorrow, I have a general idea, an expectation of what the day will look like. You know, I'll get some people grumbling at me because I wasn't at work on Friday. You know, I'll get a couple people who, you know, I need to get caught up with. But there's this expectation. And the thing is, when it doesn't happen that way, we're like totally shocked. Is there anybody else that feels that way? Like, there's times where there's just this thought, like I know generally what it's going to look like. And then there's this curveball that comes in and you're like, oh man, what just happened? Like, what is going on? Everything's falling apart. They came into my office at 9:30 and not 9:15. What's happening? I'm not that regimen, but I like to exaggerate for examples. So you have these three who are saying they're declaring to the king that God has, he always wants us to recognize the power that he has. He loves that. God is so thrilled when we walk into a place and we can declare the authority and the power of God. But these guys take it another step further. They're declaring the power and the authority that God has. And then they go, but even if he doesn't, I refuse. You know, one example that we hear a lot in this ministry is Daniel 1:8, where Daniel, it said he resolved, that he made up his mind. That there are times when the Lord is calling us to make up our minds, and that we know no matter what the circumstance is, no matter what the situation is, that God has put this on my heart and this is how I will respond. But it has to go back to Proverbs 3, where it says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. I love that because it says, trust in the Lord with all of your heart. You know, I like to go back and trust in the Lord with all my mind. With all of this incredible logic that you have blessed me with. Thank you, God, that you have gifted me with such amazing logic that I can walk through life and figure these things out. But he's telling us to trust in the Lord with all of our hearts. And I started asking him, well, God, why is it, you know, and in Matthew it says, all your heart, all your mind, all your soul. I said, so Lord, why is it here that it's trust in the Lord with all your heart? Well, what does that look like? What's that supposed to be, to trust in the Lord with all your heart? And I started thinking about the difference between trusting in the Lord with my heart versus my logic, my thinking. And the powerful thing about trusting in the Lord with your heart is when it's submitted to God and you're trusting in him with all your heart, then you've opened the door for victory in every one of your circumstances. You know, when we were driving up to Niagara Falls, I was listening to an audio book. It was a biography on Steve Jobs. He's the founder of Mac, Apple, and I'll abbreviate the 4-hour story. You're welcome. Basically, you know, he created this great Mac. He eventually, it's worth hundreds of millions of dollars. They kick him out of the company. So he goes and starts this other company up. I'm sorry if you guys are planning on listening to the audiobook later. I'm going to ruin some of it. That he starts, he gets a startup company because he never wanted to leave Apple. He starts up this other computer company that inevitably just completely fails. But he happens to invest in a small company called Pixar. He happens to own that. It takes off through the roof. And eventually they bring him back into Apple because everything's falling apart at Apple. We need Steve back. That's the condensed version. But the amazing thing about that, and I would not use Steve Jobs as an example for anything else. Listen to the rest of the book. You'll find out why. The guy's a little crazy. But he followed his heart. And the reason I want to use Steve Jobs as an example is because the world tells us in the world of business that it's not okay to follow your heart. That you have to think things through. You have to assess how it's going to work out. You need to come up with a business plan. And I'm not saying don't do those things to be irresponsible. But there's so much power and passion that comes in following your heart that Steve refused to give up on anything that he did. That he lost a ton of money on his second startup company. And it happened that Pixar worked out well. It took off and he was able to come back into Apple. And how many people have ever had, owned, or heard of an iPod? Yeah, okay. I think a better example of following your heart is maybe more godly examples, Joshua. Steve's good. Joshua's better. Lest there be any confusion. But Joshua's heart was to never leave the tabernacle, that he never left the tent of his presence. He never, his passion, his heart, his desire was to be in the presence of God. That he saw Moses come in and out, and that was fine. Moses had to do things with the Israelites. But Joshua was so captivated that his heart's desire was just to spend time in the presence of God. And because of that heart's desire, because of that passion, because he trusted in the Lord with all of his heart, everything about him, he was the one chosen to lead the Israelites into the promised land. You know, each one of us has a task, has something that the Lord has placed in front of you, that he's anointed you for, that he's gifted you for, that he's put a mantle upon you for. And he's calling you to trust in him with all of your heart so that you can see those things come into fruition. And those things are always, always bigger than what we think. You know, one of my life verses is Ephesians 3:20. You know, he can do imaginably more. That he's capable of doing exceedingly abundantly above and beyond anything you can think or imagine. That the anointing that's upon each one of our lives is one that is so great and so powerful that it can only be demonstrated, it can only be done by the power of God. And the Lord does that. He sets that up so that we don't take any of the credit. You know, he doesn't want us taking credit for these great things that he's launching us into. You know, there are, how many people here on any given Sunday? We won't count today because the entire Goki clan is gone. But you have like 80 to 100 people. Am I right? I'm not over it. You guys, okay. 80 to 100 people on any given Sunday. And I have times where I sit in these meetings, and, you know, people know that I go overseas and stuff because I'm gone for 2.5 weeks. You know, it's no surprise. And they ask, you know, well, what do you guys do? Where do you go? And I start rattling off these countries. Like, oh, yeah, you know, Mozambique, Ghana, you know, wherever else we go. That's where I went this year, so. You know, China, Brazil, India. And by the time you're done with the list, and then you get to, like, you know, oh, yeah, we do this in Canton, and we do these kind of retreats. You know, and then they have this picture, and I didn't say anything about the size. They go, oh, my gosh, that's a big church. Yeah, you have to have, like, a couple thousand people going to that church. You know, the general assumption is that in order to do those things, that you have to have lots and lots of people. But I think as we're seeing demonstrated here, that you just need a couple of willing hearts. People who are trusting in the Lord with all their heart. And that's what the Lord's calling each one of us to be a people who trust in the Lord with all of our hearts. That it's not something that happens some of the time. It's not something that we're just doing occasionally. That, you know, the Lord says, trust in me when it feels good. Trust in me when, you know, when you're in the mood, when you want to. But he's asking us, he's calling us to be a people that trust in the Lord with all of our heart, not leaning on our own understanding. And I was picturing this earlier of what it looks like to be leaning on my own understanding. You know, and if you think about the concept of what leaning is, there's a big trust factor there. You know, if I'm going to start leaning against this podium, I have to trust that it's not going to be moved. See that? Yeah. I need to lose a few pounds, but I didn't push it over. You know, that what does it look like to not lean on our own understanding? You know, if we're not leaning on our own understanding, we need to be leaning on something. And that's the revelation of the Lord. That's the thing that he wants to draw us into, to a place of such intimacy, of such passion and fire and trust in the Lord, that we start leaning on him, that we start leaning on everything about our decision making, everything about what we do, everything about who we are is trusting in him. That everything about my life, I want everything in my life to resemble, to demonstrate what it looks like to trust in God. And what does that look like for each one of us? You know, what is the Lord calling you to? What is the Lord calling each one of you to demonstrate trusting in the Lord at all times? You know, verse 6 says, in all your ways, acknowledge him and he will make your path straight. I love that one, and I always tend to focus on making my path straight. Because if my path's straight, I'm able to see what's happening. But the hard part is, you know, the first part of the verse. You know, in all your way, all, there's that word again. It's an obnoxious word. All, like everything. In all your ways, acknowledge him. You know, so I can get all juiced up and excited about the Lord. And I said, okay, my path's straight. I'm going to see exactly what he wants me to do. I'm going to understand everything. And I'm just thinking about being able to see everything. And then the Lord brings me back and he says, are you acknowledging me in all your ways? And I go, oh, man alive, that's a lot of things. That is so much. That is so overwhelming at times to think about what it looks like to trust in the Lord, to acknowledge him in all my ways. Does anybody else ever feel overwhelmed by that? Okay, if you guys don't, that's great. Share with me later how you do it. you know, what does it look like for us to trust in the Lord and acknowledge Him in all of our ways, in everything that I do, every conversation I have, every relationship that I have? And I'm posing this question to myself as much as I am to anybody else, because I think that's something that the Lord's calling all of us to grow in, to increase in, is understanding of what it looks like to acknowledge Him in all of our ways. I'm going to move on from that because it's a bit much. Oh, this is a good one. Verse 9. No, let's backtrack. I skipped over 7. It says, "Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and turn away from evil." You know, the Lord's always showing me about different times in my life where I start to feel like I'm being wise in my own eyes. About how there's times where, you know, just even a nice, gentle little pat on the back, like, "Oh, that was pretty deep. Way to go, Lawrence." And He's so quick to point those things out that it's almost to the point, close to the point, where the pat doesn't even get there necessarily. That being wise in our own eyes takes the spotlight away from where that wisdom's really coming from. That when we start to walk in this thought and this process that we're wise in our own eyes, that we're really, what we're doing is we're just stealing things from the Lord. That everything about my life, everything about each one of our lives is meant to be like a transparent, see-through kind of thing. That everything that I'm capable of doing is really because of the Lord. That any gifting, any talent that we have is meant to demonstrate the love, the power, and the abilities of God. That He wants each one of us to be walking in a lifestyle that demonstrates that. That even if in, you know, your career, the things that you may have spent years on in college studying and preparing for, even those things, acknowledging God in those, acknowledging your abilities as whatever it would be, a doctor, lawyer, what do we got? A couple other professions here. Lots of other professions here. Veterinarian. Teacher. Lots of teachers. We got lots of teachers here. Painter. Andy Summers. That in all of those in all the things that we've learned to do, to acknowledge God, to acknowledge Him in our abilities, that He's wanting us to do that. And the question I've been asking a lot lately, which there's different theologies on whether or not you should be asking this, but why? You know, why am I, after so many years of school, so many years of training on the job, why am I acknowledging God as the wise one? You know, He didn't go to school for 4 years. He's not expected to pay this tuition, even though He does provide for you so that you can pay for it. You know, I think one good example, which I love, and I've been known to do it several times, is whenever my father-in-law would drive people, and many of you have met Cynthia's mom, you know, whenever he used to drive people somewhere, she would always, you know, whenever she got to wherever it was that she needed to go, she would, "Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for protecting us. Thank you, Jesus, for getting us here safely." And she was giving God all this credit. And His response was always something along the lines of, "Well, I drove the car. What about me? Are you going to thank me?" And I do that quite a bit, too. I tend to be pretty similar to him, which is awesome. But, you know, why? Why on earth do I want to give God the credit if I'm the one that's doing all the work? And I think we find the answer in verse 8. And this is really what demonstrates the goodness of God, is that despite the fact that he doesn't have to do anything, I think we can all conclude at this point that, you know, at the cross, when he died for our sins, so that we can have a relationship with him in heaven, he's pretty much done more than enough. But he takes it another step further, and you know, I'm like, don't be wise. Don't take credit for the things that the Lord's done. But why? In verse 8, it says, it will be healing to your body and refreshment to your bones. That the Lord's goodness is always going beyond. The Lord's goodness, his love, his grace, his mercy, his power, everything is always going beyond what we initially are willing to accept. You know, I remember when I first, you know, came into realizing that Jesus was Lord, that he died on the sin for me. He died on the cross for my sins. That was the only revelation I had at that moment. That it took me years to figure out the healing that comes with it, that power that comes with it, the freedom, the deliverance that comes with it. That as we grow in the Lord, as we begin to trust in him more and more and more, he's unlocking these incredible revelations of the gifts that he wants to give to us, of the things that he wants to release into our lives. So when I start to ask, well, God, why do I want to do this? He's like, well, healing to your body, refreshment to your bones, restoration of your heart. And the list, like, I mean, it can go on for hours. And there's so many times where we get that feeling where all of our circumstances have kind of come up against us. Everything seems to be falling apart. And the only question that's left is why am I doing this? And I've had moments like that where it's like, why on earth am I doing this? Why am I willing to absolutely demolish my schedule? Why am I willing to give up all these things that I am able to do, that I have the freedom to do? Why would I give these things up? And the Lord is so faithful to continue coming in with such love and compassion and mercy, and just to draw me back into that place of intimacy. You know, I think that's one of the biggest problems in churches today is the lack of intimacy that we see. Because if we're trusting, it's funny because the Lord's always, he's always about the heart. You know, trust in the Lord with all your heart. David was a man after my own heart. Trust in the Lord, he will give you the desires of your heart. It's always the heart. It's always the heart, because when our heart is submitted to God and we're walking in fellowship with him and intimacy with him, there is nothing that can prohibit God from moving on our behalf. That as we become a people who trust in the Lord with all of our heart, there are times that your heart and your mind are going to collide. There are so many times that my logical thinking and my heart collide with one another. And it's only by the grace of God up to this point that my heart has won 85% of the time. That's something that's coming along too. But the Lord's after our heart, because if we're only doing things in our own abilities, in our own thinking, in our own mindset, in our own logic, it's so easy for the enemy to come in and just knock us off. If I'm doing everything that makes sense logically to me, the moment my circumstances change, my logic changes. That the Lord doesn't want us to be people who are tossed to and fro like a wave. To not resolve on our own logic, on our own understanding, but to resolve in our heart, to be led by the Spirit of God in our heart so that passion rises up, so that that intimate relationship with the Lord rises up when all of our circumstances come against us, when everything around us begins to fall apart and doesn't make any sense. All that's left is that intimate connection we have in our heart with the Lord. And that's what prevents us from being tossed to and fro, of moving based solely on our circumstances. You know, the Lord never wants us to be ignorant of our circumstances, but he doesn't want us to be directed by them. Verse 9 says, honor the Lord from your wealth and from the first of all your produce. Honor the Lord from your wealth and from the first of all your produce. Well, I think the first thing to conclude from that verse, which is pretty obvious, the Lord's saying, if we're called to be a people who honor the Lord from your wealth, that means you have to have wealth. And I think so many times we get this thinking that wealth is simply finances, and that's a part of it, but that's not all it is. You know, wealth is defined as an abundance or profusion of anything. It's a plentiful amount. That when you have a relationship with the Lord, you've automatically become one of the wealthiest people in the world. Congratulations. You are now better off than Bill Gates and Steve Jobs. And a lot of those other guys on the Fortune 500 list. That the Lord's calling you to honor him with something that you have. And that's a revelation that we all need to step into more. Is that we as believers, as the people who have a dynamic relationship with the Lord, are wealthy people. That you're not people who lack. You're not people who are in need. But you are a wealthy people, that you have an abundance. You have access to an overwhelming abundance of riches in heaven. So honor the Lord from your wealth and from the first of all, there it is again, your produce. In Genesis 2:26, it talks about the creation of man, and it says, then God said, let us make man in our image according to our likeness, and let them rule over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the sky and over the cattle and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. That's pretty all-inclusive. All. That's everything. Rule over the fish of the sea, birds of the sky. So you have everything that can fly, everything that's in the water, and everything that's on dry land. That sounds like all. That's going to be pretty much everything. You know, I was led to this scripture because the first example that I thought of probably wasn't the best one, which I'm going to share with you. Has anybody ever seen the movie The Lion King? Yeah, it's been a year or two, a couple years. You know, ignoring all the witchcraft and magic and all that stuff that's in it, there's a part where Mufasa is talking to his son, Simba. And he says, and maybe you guys have watched it more recently than me, but something along the lines of basically everything that the sun touches is yours. You know what I love about that is that there are people who have no revelation of Christ who speak out the things that they were created for and just are totally oblivious to it. You know, you think about different things like that. Whoever wrote that line, I don't think it was James Earl Jones himself, but whoever wrote that line had this desire to say everything that the sun touches is yours. And that's because God already put that in their hearts. That each one of us are so wealthy and so powerful and anointed for something that we are called and anointed to rule over the entire earth. All the world. Global domination. Andy always calls and asks how my plans are for global domination going. I think I'm going to start embracing it a little bit more. You know, so you have these people who are of the world who, like, just like Mufasa to Simba, everything that the sun touches is yours. Rule over it. And God does that with Adam and Eve. They say, everything that you see, you have access to. Rule over all of this. All of this is yours. I want you to rule over every aspect of everything that I've created. That is your calling. That is your anointing. Rule over the rain. So how does that work with trusting in the Lord with all of our heart? If we're called to be a people who are wealthy, who have access to everything in heaven, and are people who are called to rule over the earth, what does that mean for us in our walk of trust, a walk of faith with the Lord? You know, if I'm walking around with this revelation that all of this is mine, it can become very easy to think I'm wise in my own thinking. It becomes very easy to think that I'm entitled to all of this stuff. You know, if we only grow in a partial revelation of something, we're missing the point. So if somebody's walking around out there with the revelation of what they see in Genesis, that I'm called to rule over everything, and they don't have a revelation that they're called to trust in the Lord with everything, you're missing something. You're walking in a partial revelation that can lead you down a path of destruction very quickly. So when we're walking with this revelation that I am a wealthy person, that everything on this earth I am called to rule over and have dominion, I need to submit that to the Lord and figure out what that looks like for me, what that looks like for a body, what that looks like for us as Christians. That it's not about me just going out and doing whatever I want all willy-nilly and making things up as I go. But the Lord's calling us to be people who trust in Him and who are so submitted in heart to Him that when those collisions happen, when we start to come into a collision with our heart and our logic, when we come into a collision in the workplace, in school, and whatever it may be, that our heart is so submitted and trusting in the Lord that we know exactly what our response is to be. You know, I started thinking about, you know, these, you know, specifically about, you know, how many times has my logic, my own thinking, my own mindset collided with the things that the Lord has placed in front of me. And it happens constantly. It's like this continual, and I'm going to say the word, I know we all have heard it before, it's this constant dying process. You know, that not even almost, I would feel pretty secure in saying every single day there is an opportunity for me to make a choice between a logical thought that makes sense in my mind and something that the Lord's placed in front of me. And I'm not saying the Lord throws logic out completely. But there are times where He's going to challenge that, where He gives us an opportunity to die to ourselves and say, Lord, I want whatever it is that You're doing. I want, despite what's going on around me, despite what's happening in all of my circumstances, I want to release what the Lord wants to release in right now in this moment. And the Lord is so... The Lord is so, there you have it. The Lord is so quick to respond to that heart's cry. That so many times we get caught up in wanting to figure out how to do it right so that we please God. And so many times it's just a matter of shutting your mouth for a minute and listening. I can think of countless times that I've done that where it's like, okay, I'm in this tough situation. Lord, this is what's going on. This is what's happening. I want to do this. I want to see this. I want to see this. I want to see your glory. I want it to happen. I want it to happen. Come on, Lord, do this. Move now. Move now. Move now. Holy Spirit. Whoa, whoa, whoa. Yes, Lord, move. And the Lord's up there. It's like, shut up. Listen to me. I'm like, Lord, come on, please. Oh, Lord, please, come on. Release, release, release in Jesus' name. And I'm not saying that those things are bad because you hear me up here a lot of times declaring those things out, praying them out. But there's times when we're in a circumstance and we're in a situation and the Lord's just saying, I'm trying to speak. I want to tell you something. Open your ears and close your mouth. Listen to me. Lord, speak. I am. Lord, I want to hear you. Shut your mouth. So many times where we get so wrapped up in wanting to hear from the Lord that we don't take the time to sit and listen. That's the most powerful thing about soaking, is because it puts us in a position and a place where we stop and we listen. Because when we're constantly throwing out these prayers and we're not stopping to listen, that's the point where you start leaning on your own understanding. Because my understanding is telling me I need to pray this out, 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 because everything that my mind is thinking right now wants to release that. And so many times the Lord is saying, just be quiet and listen. Trust in me. Trust in what I want to do. Trust in the fact that I am for you and not against you. How much do we need to go through life? How often do we go through life just starting declaring things and I don't want my heart to be misunderstood. Declarations in the Spirit are great. Walking in authority and changing atmospheres and declaring those things are wonderful things. And they're needed in the body. But there are times when we start declaring things and speaking things out and calling them forth, and the Lord is just wanting to do it. That all we need to do is stop. Psalm 46:10, be still. Just be still and let God do it. Because it just takes a greater revelation, and this is, you know, I'm speaking to my own water here. It just takes a greater revelation of the fact that God is for us and not against us. You know, when we have a powerful, incredible experience and revelation of God's ability to be for us and not against us, it's so much easier just to sit back and let the Lord do what he wants to do. You know, if I'm walking in this revelation that I know God is for me, I know he wants to open doors, I know he wants to shut other doors, I know he wants to do all these wonderful things, how much easier does it become just to sit and say, okay, Lord, what do you want to do? And I'm done talking. Lord, speak. You know, I hear about, I'm trying to remember who it was. It may have been Graham Cook or somebody like that, who talks about, like, you know, when we have prayer meetings, we're silent for like the first hour and a half. Like, all it is listening to the Lord. All it is just hearing from him, Lord, what do you want to release right now? What is it that you want to speak in this moment right now? That there is something in heaven that you desire to release into the atmosphere to bring freedom, to bring joy, to bring peace, to bring every fruit of the Spirit that you have. What is it? And the moment we hear from the Lord and we step into that, there's like this powerful anointing that's released, because you know in your heart, there's a resolve in your heart. You know, since you took the time to listen, that this is exactly what God wants to do right now. And it's so much easier to speak with authority when you know it's what God wants to release. You know, we can get up and start declaring things that are good and powerful, but if we're not hearing from the Holy Spirit of what he wants to do in that moment and in that time, we're missing the mark. You know, we can get up and declare all great things, wonderful things from heaven, great revelation from God, rhema words inspired that we've heard from years past. But if it's not what he wants to release in that moment, it becomes a religious act. That he wants us to be so close to him, trusting in him so deeply, and not leaning on our own understanding, that there's none of that. And I've stepped into that so many times. I know I have. And the Lord's gracious to just to bring blessing despite the fact that I've stepped into things. But there's times where, you know, I would get up and start declaring deliverance. And, you know, Pastor Mary Pat would come along and be like, well, I think we need to bring some healing in first. Okay, I missed it. Awesome, let's go for healing. Let's go for it. You know, if we're only stepping into things that we think in our own minds of what the Lord wants to do, and we're not taking the time to sit back, stop, trust in the Lord with all of our heart, it's so easy to miss the mark. And I'm not saying that because we're all missing the mark. I'm saying that as a desire for the Lord for all of us to walk in greater authority. That he wants each one of us to confidently come before the mercy seat of God to hear his voice. And in that moment, walk in the revelation that this, right now, right here, is what God wants to release. You know, I can see a person roll by in a wheelchair, and if I'm not hearing God's desire to heal him, it's going to lack authority. And don't get me wrong, God's desire is always to heal. Don't use that as an excuse like, oh, well, I didn't hear the Lord come down, so I'm not going to pray for that person. But it's so much easier to step into an anointing and an authority when you hear from God. You know, if I see somebody walk by and the Lord instantly grabs my heart for them. I remember, here's a great example. When I was in Hong Kong, I don't know how many years ago. How old's Joseph? Three? So about 3 years ago. We had one night, and I know many of you guys have heard this, we had one night of this great outpouring, this great, just great release. The Spirit was moving, everybody was filled to overflowing, joyful, great, powerful time. And we were all just flowing with the Spirit, and as we're leaving the ministry site, it was in the middle of a town, so there were still tons of people there, and we're leaving the ministry site, and there's a guy on the ground being tormented, literally banging his head on the street. Like I don't speak Cantonese or Mandarin, but I knew he wasn't speaking either of those. It was just gibberish. He just started like just gibberish stuff coming out. And I remember going over to him and praying over him and feeling so much peace and so much authority in that moment. That he became silent, he stopped banging his head on the ground, and I was able just to speak into his heart. Because in that moment, I could hear from the Lord, I felt the desire that he had for that guy. And it was easy for me to walk over. Because I know other times when I'd have seen something like that, a guy literally on his hands and knees banging his head on the floor, I may have gone over there, but I was much more timid, much more shy. But this time, just really coming up to him and knowing the Father's heart for him, the desire that he had to bring peace into his heart. And I was with joy and peace, I just walked up there. You know, I got down and I started talking to him real quietly. I didn't have to yell or cast anything out. And I just smiled at him, and he stopped banging his head on the ground. He stopped screaming out these horrific gibberish things. And he just sat there quietly and he listened. And there was so much peace and there was so much authority in it that you just knew the presence of God was coming, that he was doing something in his heart. That in my own abilities, there's nothing I could have done. There was no way. I probably, if I wasn't just coming out of a great ministry experience like that, I would have looked like, oh Lord, bless that guy, and kept on walking. But the Father's heart is for us to be so in touch with his heart, with his desire, and hearing from him, that it becomes this easy flow. And when we hear from the Lord that this is what I want to do, when we're trusting in him and we see this is what God wants to release right now, it becomes this easy flow. This easy walk with the Lord where we're able to release things, where we're able to trust in him in every aspect of our life. I spoke a little bit last. We had a Bible study on yesterday, didn't we? Troy had a Bible study. Awesome. The last Bible study that I was at, I spoke about God's first and his best. You know, what does that look like for us to give our first and our best? And in verse 9 it says, to honor him for our wealth and from the first of all of our produce, that everything we produce we're called to honor God with. That the very first of everything that I have. Ultimately, I think we all understand, or we're growing in the revelation that everything is his, correct? I mean, that's maybe I shouldn't automatically assume that we're all aware of that. But everything that we have, everything, all things, everything is his. And all the Lord's asking for is for us to honor him with the very first of it. You know, and as we grow in this, in seeing what happens as we trust in the Lord, it just becomes so much easier just to give and give and give, that we see the fruit of that as we're walking with the Lord and we begin to trust in him with all of our heart, that out of that automatically flows the first of my produce. That out of that automatically flows the ability to give of everything I have to the Lord. That as we see the fruit of what happens when we trust in the Lord, he's bringing us to a place where we're able to easily give of ourselves, give of our talents, give of our finances, give of everything that we have. And all that does is just open the door for more blessings. That as we're trusting in him, as we come into those times where we're, you know, my mind is fighting with my heart and I don't know what to do. I don't understand what's happening. Everything's falling apart around me. And we step into that place where we hear from the Lord in our heart and we walk that out. It opens the door for so many other things that far exceed anything I could have imagined coming out of a circumstance or situation. That so many times when by the grace of God, I am able to follow my heart that's trusting in the Lord and not my own rationale, my own thinking, there's so many blessings that come out of it that the end result is better than anything I thought could have happened had I have gone my own way. Does that make sense? It's kind of jumbled up there. That I have a choice, A, which is my logical thinking, it makes sense to me, B, what I believe the Lord is saying right now, to step into that. If I do A, I will get X, Y, Z. If I do B, I have no idea what I'm going to get. I know what XYZ is, and I like XYZ. But I know the Lord's telling me to do this. So let's go with B. And as I slowly start to take my eyes off of A, start to say goodbye to XYZ, I step into God's plan, and before I know it, I've received ABCDEFGHIJK and XYZ. That out of that obedience and that desire to flow with the Lord, everything that I've left behind, I now either have something like it or better. So what's my motivation? So why is it? Here's what I don't understand, and help me with this. Why is it after so many times of seeing this work, there's still occasionally this that's pulling at me? Like, I know when I follow God's plan, I know when I follow him that he opens the heavens, that blessings come and everything. And yet my thinking in my mind is still like, oh, that's really good this time. Like, there's a part of me that I don't know why, but like your mind says, yeah, it worked last time, but I don't know. I'm not sure it's going to work again. You may have just gotten lucky. So you're faced with the same decision, and then your mind starts playing tricks on you. It's like, yeah, you gave that up last time, and it worked, but this is even better than that. This is really good, and then you start looking at it even more. And then you're focused on everything that your mind is telling you makes sense. And the Lord, because he's not looking for robots, he's not going to make you do this. He just continues to draw you in with that love, that grace, that mercy. It's like, oh. So it's almost like, you know, your logic mind's going this way, your heart's getting tugged this way, and you're torn between two worlds. You don't know which one's the right way. And then the Lord comes in, and this is why I love hearing about these messages. You remember. You begin to remember. You remember, you remember, you remember of how faithful God was the last time, how faithful and how good he was, how he exceeded every one of your expectations. And then all of a sudden, what looked really good, as you begin to remember how good God has been through that, it becomes easier and easier. And then all of a sudden, it's like, oh, I really want that again. My mind is saying that's what I want. And then the Lord says, hey, remember last time? Remember how I blessed you? Remember how great it felt? Remember how much peace you had? How much joy you had? How much freedom was experienced by you and everyone else? You're like, oh, yeah, I remember that. And then all of a sudden, it's like, well, and then you step into what God wants to do, and you're looking at the decision that you were considering, and you're like, what was I thinking? Like, that was a no-brainer now that I know everything that's come out of this decision. You know, you ever hear hindsight's always 20/20? I always say that about stocks because I buy them and they go down. Hindsight's always 20/20. Then I buy some more and they go down. You know, it's always easy to look back at the decisions that you make and critique them. You know, like, once I've stepped over here and I'm trusting in the Lord and I'm walking that and I see the fruit of that, well, yeah, that was easy. That was a no-brainer. There was nothing hard about that decision. But when you're right in that moment and you're in that place where, just like Radshak, Meshach, and Abednego were, where they didn't know what the end result was going to be. They didn't know what the final conclusion was going to be. I bet you, I guarantee you that, not guarantee, I would bet you, and I don't bet much, but I bet you in their thinking, the best results for them was that they wouldn't be thrown in the fire. I mean, because if you think about what they were thinking, like, I am willing to go into the fire for the Lord. I am willing to die and lay down my life. Right now, the best result for me is if the Lord comes in and I don't have to go into the fire. Like, that's what logically makes sense when you're in that moment. Like, it makes sense. I'm winning if I don't go in the fire. That's not a very difficult thing to understand. If I'm not thrown into the fiery burning furnace that kills me, I win. But the Lord takes it an even greater place to where you're thrown in the fire and it's even better than you could have imagined. Because now you're dancing with the Lord in fire. Tell me that's not better. You know, if I'm standing here between, like, and I'm looking at this fire and somebody's going to think about throwing me in, if I hadn't read the account of Daniel, I'm sitting there, I'm not, like, my mind isn't thinking, I would love to get thrown in there and dance with the Lord. Like, there's nothing in your mind that comprehends those kind of things. And that's how great God is, because he can always take it so much further. Like, you're not sitting there thinking, like, oh, man, I would really win if he threw me in the fire and God started dancing with me. That doesn't go on here. That doesn't happen. Maybe you guys, I've seen Pastor Mary Pat move in some things like that. But, you know, my mind, my thinking, my logic is I win if I'm not in the fire. That's what's winning for me. So you have this decision where you get X, Y, Z. That's winning for me. That makes sense. I know what I get, and I like it. This, I have no idea what's happening. This does not make sense. This, like, if I have a decision between what logically makes sense and what the Lord's doing, I have no idea what's happening. Like, what on earth would possess me to take something where you have no idea what the end result is? No idea. I mean, how many of you guys have been faced with that kind of decision where it's like this, I know what I get. I like what I get, and the end result is good. What is wrong with this? And the Lord's like, well, I want you to do this. Why? Don't you love me? Why do I have to choose? This is good. I can honor you in this. But as our heart begins to catch on to trusting in the Lord with all of our heart, you have this, which makes sense to my mind. You have this, which I have no idea what's going to happen. And then eventually it gets to this place where we've seen it so many times where we remember it, and our lives are so laid down before the Lord. It's like you have this, you know what's going to happen, it makes sense, and you like it, and you have the Lord's plan. Okay. Well, that's a no-brainer. Because I remember what happened last time. And there's times where the Lord reminds me, what happens when I choose this one? You guys ever experienced that? Where you choose what makes logical sense, and then all of a sudden you can see what would have happened? That's no good. That stinks. That's the time where I start grabbing on to, oh Lord, you work all things together. All things together for good. All things, that's my declaration right now. You work, I didn't choose that, but you work all things together. You will use my bad decision to bring blessing. And in his grace and love and mercy, it's like, okay, you decided to do this. Well, I'm going to do this over here. Move this around. Do a little jump over here. And oh, look, you ended up right where I wanted you to go in the first place. It just took a hop, skip, leap, and another walk around a mountain. How much easier is it if we just, whoop, okay, Lord, this is what you want. This is what you want. This is what you want. That's what it looks like to trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. Because our own understanding hardly ever gets this. It hardly ever gets what the Lord is wanting to do, what it's wanting to release. And that's why it's so crucial that we come to a place where we're dead to our flesh. Where we crucify our flesh and we die to ourselves and we say, Lord, have your way. Have your way. Because as we do that, it just begins to naturally happen where we're flowing like that. Where we're flowing with the Lord, walking in the desires of his heart, and we experience that. You know, if you look at the example of the cross, there's nothing logical about it. There's nothing that makes sense in your mind about a guy that committed absolutely nothing wrong dying. But as that story, as that account begins to unfold, you have the disciples who, even Peter, cut off an ear to defend his Savior. Because that's what makes sense. You've given your whole life to this guy for 3 years, the prime of their life. You're not just going to give him up. Like, oh, I've left everything I've ever known for 3 years. I've followed you all over Timbuktu, and you've done all these crazy things, and you guys want to take him away? Oh, okay. No, he responded in what made sense, that in that moment, he cut off the ear because he wanted to defend the very guy that he had given his life to over the last 3 years. And nothing about the cross makes sense if you're looking at it with natural eyes. Like, why is it that the Creator, the King of Kings, has to die on a cross? It was the most horrific death they had. Why? What is it about that makes any sense? And there's nothing in the logical sense that works. And then all of a sudden, you get 3 days later and you see what happens. And then all of a sudden, your hindsight becomes 20/20. And you realize what just happened. I mean, the devil was so focused on being able to see Jesus die, he didn't realize that in that moment he'd lost. That everything that God was doing in that moment, our hindsight, looking back at the cross now is 20/20. I can see that he's defeated death. I can see that he's opened the door for my freedom. I can see and experience the love, the grace, the mercy that he has for me. Because in that moment that didn't make any sense, logically, Christ, even though he said, if this cup can pass from me. But Christ knew. He knew what God wanted to do in that moment. He understood that God had placed this before him, that this ultimately would bring restoration. This would bring restoration to his people, to his children, and that we can experience that. So you have the cross, which makes no logical sense, and at the end you see how it brings justice and mercy together. That the Lord is calling us to be a people who trust in him so that when we get beaten, battered down by circumstances, we remember in our hearts the things that he's called us to. We remember in our hearts the anointing that he's put on us, the dreams, the visions, the prophetic words that he's released over us, and that is what allows us, as we trust in the Lord, to continue to walk forward. Because the Lord is looking for people who are no longer swayed by circumstances, by situations, but are so resolved in their heart that they are going to continue trusting in him even when it doesn't make sense in the natural. How powerful can we be as believers, as people who walk with the King of Glory on the inside, if we're not swayed by our circumstances?
What time is it?
You know, the Lord's desire is for us to step into a place of grace and joy and peace. I mean, those are the things that he has for us. So what would ever hinder us from stepping into the plans that he has for us? You know, I have seen people here stepping into destinies. I have seen, and I've been by the, I don't know why, by the grace of God, I've been a part of seeing some people step into such great destinies here in this room that it's just mind-boggling. You know, if I can use an example real quick. Cynthia was, we were reminiscing about the old days. And this will be a quick story, and then I'll wrap it up. But we were talking about, we had a chance to look at our wedding video, which we hadn't seen up to this point, 5 years. So we were watching it on our anniversary. It was really picturesque, really romantic. And you know, so we're kind of back at that point and like just remembering some of those things and reminiscing about some of those things. And she was telling me a little bit about the process, about, you know, she found the tapes and all this stuff. And then she says, well, I found another tape that was labeled Lip Tack, and she almost had that converted to a DVD as well. And she said, but I looked at it, and what it was clips of the video that you made for your dad. And what that was many years ago, I mean, it was 7 years maybe? I mean, 7 years ago, roughly, we made a video for my dad for his birthday. And all of us, like all of his siblings, shared something. And Cynthia was telling me she was watching it. And my lovely sister Stephanie, I'm going to single you out because I can. So at this current point in her life, wasn't necessarily walking with the Lord completely. And I remember her. I remember it after Cynthia reminded me. She's like, well, you were shooting, and she was just very kind of like, wait, what are we doing? You want me to do what? Why? And just this real like, ugh, okay, is the camera on? And you know, my wife did some brilliant editing, so that didn't necessarily come through in the video. But to remember that and where she's at today. And that's just, I mean, that's just my sister, like, and it's not just you, but I've been a part of that, of seeing that come to fruition, of seeing destiny literally change. Like, you go from a girl who doesn't even want to speak nicely into a camera to a woman who's laboring in prayer for her dad. Like, that is a part of destiny changing. And that's an example I'm going to use because it's my sister. I've seen it happen in so many other people here. It's happened in my own life. You know, the Lord is desiring to bring something greater out of each one of us. He wants us to be able to step into things that we never thought we could ever do. And the only way we can do that is if we trust in Him and we're not leaning on our own understanding. So I believe that the Lord is calling all of us this morning. I'm going to have you guys stand up. Stand up, close your eyes, bow your heads. You don't have to actually bow your heads. I'm going to have you close your eyes, though. That the Lord's desire is for each one of us to be a people who trust in the Lord with all of your heart. All of it. Every aspect of your life. Every nook and cranny of your heart. That He wants each one of us to be a people who trust wholeheartedly in Him. And that there are things that He is placing on your hearts, destinies, prophetic words, anointings, mantles, callings, He's placing on your heart, even right now, of things that you never thought you could do, of something so great and so wonderful that only God can accomplish it. But in order to step into those things, you need to trust in the Lord with all of your heart, with every aspect of your heart. So, Lord, I'm just going to release your presence right now to come to speak to hearts right now. Holy Spirit, just fill their hearts with a vision. Fill their hearts with a dream that only you can bring forth, greater than anything they could think or imagine. Lord, that these are a people who walk in such a powerful anointing, that have such a mantle on their lives, that they are carrying out the very heart of the King of Kings. And Lord, you're calling each one of them to fulfill those destinies, to trust in you wholeheartedly with everything that they are. So Lord, open their eyes now to see what it is that you want to release. And I'm going to have everybody with your eyes closed to commit to the Lord as you feel led. This isn't something that I want you to flippantly do. This isn't something that I want you to do because you feel like everybody around you is doing it. Keep your eyes closed and commit to the Lord to trust in Him with all of your heart. With all of your heart. All of your heart. Every aspect, every fiber within you. Trusting the Lord. And with just a raising of the hand, that the Lord can see that as a natural act. Committing your heart to follow Him with all that you are. And as you're doing that, I want you to remember to go back to those places where the Lord has demonstrated His faithfulness to respond to that heart. Lord, I thank you that you are reminding each person here of your faithfulness, of your goodness, of what happens when they walk with you and trust in you with all of their heart. Holy Spirit, we just anoint each person here to go forth and carry those things out, that you would give them guidance, that you would give them direction, that you would make their path straight. Lord, as they acknowledge you in all of their ways, as they trust in you with all of their heart, that their paths are made straight and they would set their gaze upon the very thing that you are putting in their hearts. And that they would walk, not looking to the left or to the right, but focused on what you have, on what you want to release. And Lord, I just ask that you would release the grace to step into that. Thank you, Lord, that that grace is always available. Always available. Always available. Thank you, Lord. Yes, Lord. Oh. Yes, Lord. Amen.